Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 to 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose word is like a shower that pours down upon us, and it works to create, sustain, and preserve saving faith in us, dear fellow redeemed. One of the teachings that separates the Lutheran Church from all other denominations is the teaching of the means of grace. The means of grace is the means or the way that God gives us his grace. So the means of grace is the gospel both in the Word, in the Bible, and the gospel in the sacraments. God only works through his word. Through the law to convict and condemn the sinner, through the gospel to convert and to comfort. The Holy Spirit cannot work upon the heart of the individual without the word being present. You cannot pray someone into faith. You cannot lead someone to faith by talking about faith. The only way the Holy Spirit can work faith in the heart of an individual is when we preach or teach or read or hear the good news of what Jesus did for us, proclaiming the word of God. Our Lutheran confessions were written during the Reformation also clearly teach this. We read in the Augsburg Confession that we may obtain this faith in Christ, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. For through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Ghost is given, who works faith where and when it pleases God in them who hear the gospel. The Augsburg Confession also condemns those who think that the Holy Ghost comes to men without the external word through their own preparation and works. Another confession, called the Small Cult Articles, we read the following. We ought and must constantly maintain this point, that God does not wish to deal with us otherwise than through the spoken word and the sacraments. In those things which concern the spoken outward word, we must firmly hold that God grants his spirit or grace to no one except through or with the preceding outward word. In order that we may thus be protected against the enthusiasts, that is, those who boast that they have the spirit without and before the word. And finally, the Formula of Concord, another Lutheran confession, also condemns as false teaching those that God converts men and leads them to the saving knowledge of Christ through the Spirit without any created means. That is, without the external preaching and hearing of the word of God. The word. This morning's worship service is centered on this teaching of God's word and how important it is, not only to each of us, but to every single person in this world. This morning we heard in our gospel reading that rich man said, "Oh, Abraham, if you could just send Lazarus back to my brothers, and they saw someone raised from the dead, then they'd believe, then they'd repent." What did Abraham say? "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Why? Because Paul clearly writes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from or by the word of God. And also, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The Holy Spirit creates faith by working through the gospel, not through dreams or visions or miracles or signs or wonders. The past two sermons based on Isaiah 50 and 53 clearly have shown to us that we've been saved by God's grace in Christ Jesus. We have seen how God justified us. That means he declares us righteous through Jesus' perfect life, death on the cross, and resurrection from the grave. We're saved by Christ alone. He for us, not everyone for himself. We're saved alone by Christ's sacrifice, not by our merits or anything we do. And this morning from Isaiah 55, we hear that this grace that Christ died for us is brought to us, told to us, through God's word, so we can believe it. We've entitled our theme this morning, God's Word of Grace, It's Heavenly Rain, Heavenly Precipitation, the Shower of God's Grace, Just Word. In the first five verses of Isaiah 55, which we didn't read, we hear of the Lord inviting people to come, and to come and drink water, special water, the special water of life. That water of life, of course, is the Word of God. It's the Word that spiritually revives, nourishes, refreshes. And the Lord says, this Word of salvation, this water of life, can't be bought with silver or gold. It's a free gift. And so the invitation goes out, come to the waters, everyone who is thirsty. Our first point this morning is this. The shower of God's gracious word invites sinners to enjoy its blessed washing now. We read again verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah's words here carry a very severe tone of importance. Four words here. Seek, call, forsake, return. They're all invitations by God, given through his word, for God is reaching out to the heart to try to take hold of that heart and change it. The word seek is more than just a casual look. Literally, that word means to beat a path to trample with the feet, not just once, but over and over again. We're to seek in such a way that we go to a place so often that it becomes familiar to us. How many of us daily beat a path to our Bibles? How many of us are so familiar with our Bibles that we know where that passage we're thinking about is found? That we know the books of the Bible can find them readily. We know where Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection is found, in which books of the Bible, in which Gospels, and where they are. Are our Bibles worn out from use? Do they look like they've been used? Or they are still looking kind of brand new and hardly opened. Jesus in the New Testament says, search the scriptures. And that word for search also means more than just a casual glance. It really means a diligent word-for-word search. Literally, the word there for search means to ransack something. If you, wives, would lose your diamond wedding ring in your house, you wouldn't casually look for that treasure given to you by your husband. you'd ransack your house. Every nook and cranny, open drawers, tip them over, look throughout that house day and night till you finally find that treasure that was given you. So also with the Lord. The Lord's inviting us to a daily ransacking, a daily investigating over and over again this word, reading it, hearing it, studying it. When? Now, today. Well, the Lord can still be found. This gracious invitation of God is given, remains only as long as the Lord's word is still with us. Only as long as his voice still is being proclaimed to us. For his voice, his call, his invitation alone is the power to lead someone to repentance and to saving faith in Jesus. When that voice, when that call, when that word is no longer heard or it's rejected, then there is no more coming to faith. There is no more opportunity to come to hear God's grace. Could that ever happen? It has. And it does. Those of you who know about the Reformation realize and know that during Luther's day, the Word of God was lost. That gracious call of the Lord to come, drink this water of life, was lost. It was no longer preached from the pulpits, no longer preached in the churches or the church schools. The Bible was not being read in the hearts of the people because there was no Bible written in the language of their day, German. The people did not know about the Word of God. But when the Word of God again was translated and put into the hearts of the people, into their lives, they welcomed it readily. The Reformation spread throughout Germany and all of Europe, and Christianity spread like wildfire. But that was 500 years ago. Today, you look into Germany and much of Europe, and the word is almost lost. Christianity is almost dead. In liberal teachings, formalistic rituals, outward cathedral beauty, the gospel can hardly be found. And the same can be said here in America, in the largest Lutheran church body of our day. They do not teach, the Bible is the verbally inspired, inerrant word of God. They no longer look to the Bible for their teachings and their faith life. They look to their enlightened critical analysis of the Bible. And they have changed many, many simple Bible teachings. Today, how many people come to church, Christian churches, on a weekly basis? I didn't know, so I looked it up. According to Google, the United States, 37% of a church's membership comes regularly. That's less than 4 out of 10 members come to church regularly. In our synod, the CLC, it's around 49-50%. Before COVID, we were averaging about 63%. In Germany, it's 13%. Less than 2% of members come to church on a weekly basis. We too are in grave danger of losing this gospel message. Luther, using these words here, used the picture of the gospel being a great big huge rain cloud. He says, it comes and it pours on one place, then it pours in another place, and it goes from place to place to place. It never stays in one place very, very long. It moves from place to place. So absorb it when it showers upon you. The gospel is definitely moving on out of our country. So now is the time for us to soak in that gospel message, to hear that word of the law that condemns our sinful selfishness, leads us to repent and rejoice in joy that we have peace through Christ alone. Secondly, the shower of God's gracious word declares God's way of pardon and mercy. We read verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's not surprising. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways because we are not God. We're His creatures. His plan of salvation, His proclamation of His simple gospel is so far beyond our understanding. It's as far as part of the Lord says, as the heaven is from the earth. God's ways are forgiveness and full pardon and peace. Man's ways are evil and vengeful and self-centered and self-righteous. God's thoughts are love and compassion to us in Jesus. Man's thoughts are selfish, believing that he can earn his own way to everlasting life by doing good. How we can only marvel at the incomprehensible ways of God's love and forgiveness for us sinful beings, that he reached down to us, sinners whom he created, perfect, and says, I still love you. And I'm not going to demand of you that you be perfect because you can't be perfect. That's the law's demand. But I'm going to give you my son. My love is going to sacrifice my own son for you. He'll be the perfect substitute for you and save you. Thirdly, the shower of God's gracious word accomplishes God's good pleasure before returning to him. We read earlier in Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The tangible point of contact between us sinners and our righteous, perfect Heavenly Father is only the Word. The Word, that powerful, dynamic Word. The gospel sent forth by the Lord as a messenger, which has a specific mission, and that mission it will accomplish. It doesn't return void, meaning empty or fruitless. It will accomplish its purpose. We read in verses 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the sun snow and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Did you know, this summer we didn't have much rain. We had to do a lot of watering for our garden to bring forth fruit. Without rain, without snow, there wouldn't be much food. If we didn't have rain and snow at all, crops wouldn't grow. There'd be no seeds. And eventually, everybody would die of starvation. Rain and snow have a wholesome effect upon this earth. They're God's gifts to us. Job writes this, that is, he who says to the snow, be on the earth, is the Lord who sends the gentle rain and the heavy rain. With moisture, he saturates the thick clouds and scatters the bright clouds, and they shall swirl about, being turned by his guidance, that they may do whatever he commands them on the face of the whole earth. And God says, so shall my word be. God's word is also given to us as a gift from God. It's to be proclaimed by his messengers, his ambassadors, his heralds, you and me, fulfilling that mission assigned to the word, the salvation of mankind. It's impossible for the gospel not to do its work upon people. The creative force of the gospel brings people to faith, creates saving faith in their hearts, converts them from unbelief in a life of serving themselves and sin to faith and a selfless service to Jesus. But the gospel itself cannot cry out, Jesus saves. The gospel itself can't even speak. It speaks through you and through me. If we don't speak the gospel, if we don't teach the gospel, if we don't preach the gospel, if we don't give Bibles to people to read the gospel cannot work. The gospel is also the preserving power in our hearts to defend us against temptation. It's the power in our hearts so we can get through all the trials and troubles of this life. The Holy Spirit working in our hearts is like that rain that falls upon our parched, dry hearts and souls. As believers, we will want that power of the gospel to work in our hearts and lives every single day we're alive. So, diligently search the Bible. Ransack your Bibles with daily devotions. As a family, as individuals, as a married couple, hear it devoutly, continually, regularly in church, and also in our Bible class and in our Sunday school. Prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers gave of their lives for the Word of God, so it can be preached and taught in its truth and purity with no interference from the government, from man-made regulations, or from church laws and requirements. May the Holy Spirit give us the time and the energy to also give up our lives to proclaim this simple, simple gospel message. Jesus lived perfectly. Jesus died as our sacrifice on the cross. And he rose again from the dead to this generation and to all the generations to come. So the shower of God's word can rain upon our children and our children's children and our children's children's children until eternity begins. But that can only be done if we use that word of God daily, so the Holy Spirit can work in our hearts those blessings, those blessed promises that he has assured to every single one of us. May that be our commitment in Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.